It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 360, entitled I Failed to Create an AI Title for This Episode. It was recorded on Monday the 5th of January, 2026, and a happy new year to you. I'm joined this week by Taco for Donshot, by Courtney Robertson and Mike Johnston. It is a WordPress podcast, but we talk a lot more than just WordPress in this episode. There's lots about AI, there's lots about New Year's resolutions, there's loads about the last year in WordPress. We talk about the release schedule for the upcoming versions in the year 2026, and a whole lot more. I really hope that you enjoy it. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome. Happy New Year. Happy holidays and all of that kind of stuff. Hopefully you're joining us revitalized and had a little bit of a break. I promised faithfully that I would change that music. However, I just didn't. That music's still as dreadful as ever.
You're breaking resolutions already?
I know. Oh, God. We'll get into that in a minute. Absolutely, we'll get into that. So we're brand new, you know, 2026, new year. Hopefully, it'll be a great year in the WordPress space. I have high confidence. We're going to talk a lot today about the future of WordPress, release cycles, AI, that kind of thing as well. And in order to make it not a monologue, I'm joined each week by a bunch of fabulous WordPressers, and you can see them joining me today. We've got one new face, but we've got two returning faces. Let's go around. Well, I'll do them in the order that they're in our show notes. Let's go for that. How about that? So first off then, down there is Taco Vodonshot. Hello, Taco. How are you doing?
Hi. All good.
Yeah. Nice to have you with us. Did you have a nice break?
Yes. I had 2 full weeks off, which was the first time in about 15 years.
Oh,
so
okay.
That was really nice. Yeah. And I think I'm used to it now.
Yeah, this is what every year is going to... Yeah, you're in retirement. Actually, 2 weeks is kind of long enough that you kind of forget what you're doing, if you know what I mean. You come back to it and you feel like, oh, where was I? Yeah, that's interesting.
Luckily, we picked up
something new about Taco, because he's put something in his bio that I didn't know about him. So here it comes. Taco Vodonshot. It's pretty exceptional that Taco Vodonshot is joining us today. He's usually unavailable during the first 2 weeks of January whilst he's following the Dakar rally. What? These weeks, he sees trackingdakar.com more than he sees his family. And I'm going to read the quote. It says, "A challenge for those who go, a dream for those who stay behind," Thierry Sabine said, whoever Thierry Sabine is. And while Taco completely lacks the talent, skills, and financial position to participate in the rally, well, he's still dreaming. Okay, not the entire day. He also shows up at the Progress Planner plugin to build the best tool to help website owners work on their website. He's also involved in the FAIR project. We might get to that a little bit. Translates bits and pieces of WordPress and co-organizes his local WordPress meetup. All of that's fantastic, but I want to know more about this Dakar thing. What the heck even is it?
Yeah. So ages ago, previous century even, there was a guy named Thierry Sabine who invented the world's hardest rally. It was as such. And it went from Paris to Dakar. Over time, it's seen different continents. The majority was in Africa, but since I think 2007, they were racing in South America. And a couple of years ago, they started racing in Saudi Arabia. Huh. But the concept is still the same. It's about 2 weeks long, about 8,000 kilometers of driving on a motorcycle, side-by-side vehicle, Challenger class, car, or in a truck. And basically, it is the world's hardest rally. Yeah, a lot of people don't ever make the finish. So
you also said in when we were talking before earlier today, you said that some people don't not just don't make the finish, they don't make it.
Yes.
They kind of don't even get through the whole event. It ends their life, which is
Unfortunately, we've seen quite a few deaths over the year. Usually that's in the motorcycle category.
Okay.
They have the nastiest crashes and are the most vulnerable. But yeah, it happens.
This is a side of you that I knew nothing about. And that's kind of curious that you would normally, this is your normal 2 weeks off. You take 2 weeks off to watch.
Well, no, I don't take time off. But even now on the left, I have Tracking Dakar open to see what's happening with the trucks because they haven't finished the stage for today yet.
You're an absolute addict. Well, I can firmly tell you that this, unfortunately, Taco, you're not going to get me watching it. I'm just like motor cars and me. So long as I have a car that goes forwards and backwards and can go round corners, that's as much as I care about in terms of cars. But I'm glad that you kind of interested in that. Go and check it out. So the URL is Tracking Dakar, DAKAR.com. And you too could lose your life to trackingdakar.com. Oh,
that is the absolute nerd website. Yeah. If you want to have the more engaging stuff, go to dakar.com.
Okay. All right. So we've learned a lot about Taco. Let's learn a little bit about Courtney. There's Courtney. Hello, Courtney. Courtney's,
I had muted myself, unmuting me, I muted Nathan's camera.
No,
I
didn't.
I have that power.
What happens, right? No, I'll tell you what happens. I have an SLR camera, which I've got fixed to a tripod behind my desk. And every sort of holiday time, I decouple it and take it out and do, you know, family photos and things like that. And it doesn't matter how many times I put it back on the tripod, I never remember the specific configuration to make it so that it doesn't turn off every 15 minutes. So during this episode, it's going to turn off about every 15 or 20 minutes or something like that.
So it's not my power, no, it's your memory.
No, but honestly, I swear, there's only about 8 things that I need to do. And I'm sure I've done them all. I've even made like a to-do list of do this. And I followed it all perfectly, but it's not working. So it's going to go off periodically and it's my fault. So here we go. Courtney Robertson is an accomplished open source developer advocate at GoDaddy, a dedicated WordPress training team faculty member, a co-founding board member of the WP Community Collective, effortlessly engaging audiences with her relatable insights on getting involved and supporting contributors to the open source community. Staying true to her roots as a professional educator, she seamlessly merges her teaching expertise with a passion for technology, both on and off the stage. Serving developers, website creators, and open source enthusiasts, Courtney delivers immense value by drawing from her rich background as a computer science educator and full-stack developer. She's driven by a strong commitment to onboarding the next generation of contributors and advocating for sustainable funding solutions for open source developers. There's another paragraph, but may I stop?
Yeah, no, we're going to skip it. I don't need that. I need to give you a shortened version for the show.
No, it's okay. Get AI to paraphrase it.
You got the version that's like my WordPress profile with the keywords.
I don't know.
Yeah, sorry.
That's what
we'll
I received.
It
no,
out.
It's fine. And you'll notice that Courtney's favorite color is purple. Today.
Clearly, in life, it actually is.
Well, so what's kind of curious, Courtney, is you got purple behind you. You're wearing purple. Yeah. You got purple headphones. But also, the reflection in your glasses is telling me that something in front of you is also purple. Look at that.
It's like actually the color changing protection kind of stuff. When I go out in the sun, these turn into sunglasses. And when they are in sunglass mode, they also look purple.
Okay.
For the listener only crowd on the audio podcast, I do also have rotating colors of blue happening behind me as stripes.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well,
this is a dark blue. This is a dark navy kind of stripe, and this is a light blue.
Oh, I thought you meant they were like changing over time. I thought you meant that.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm calling for
confusion. Some incredible wallpaper.
Let me get that wallpaper. Yes. No. Just stripes.
Okay. Yeah. So there's Yeah, there's Taco, there's Courtney. Let's go to Mike. So Mike's new to this show. There's Mike. And but he's not new to the WordPress community. Mike and I go back several years. I think the first time I met Mike was at WordCamp Europe. He had the unenviable position of sitting in whilst I did some interviews for the WP Tavern to make sure that the code of conduct was not violated. So he had to listen to me for about 8 hours straight talking to people. And we've stayed in touch on and off ever since then. And just before, I don't know when it was, sort of latter part of last year, Mike reached out and we got an offer of an opportunity to come onto the show to Mike. So I'm so glad that you've come on, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Nathan. Thanks very much. I'm delighted to be here. I think I told you in my notes, I've listened to the podcast and watched it occasionally ever since I got started in WordPress. This was the first podcast I ever listened to, and it's still the first one I turned to. So I'm delighted to be here and in such good company. I'm delighted to get to know Taco and Courtney just a little bit.
That's followed
their work, but we've not had a chance to meet before.
So. Yeah, I really appreciate that. That's really nice. And hopefully your banking details are correct, and I'll wire you the money slightly later.
We'll get it updated for sure. digital euros and
whichever you like. We'll get to that later. Yeah. Okay. So here's Mike's bio. Mike Johnson is an experienced technical manager, coach, and business leader, having spent over 40 years managing people, projects, budgets, and businesses. Mike's WordPress journey began in 2018. When he started The Cook and the Writer.com, a food and travel blog he co-authors with his wife, Mary. What a fantastic use of the platform that is. He considers himself a WordPress enthusiast. He builds websites for his own use for experimentation with new features and for the occasional client. While living in Portugal for 3.5 years, Mike was an organizer for WordCamp Europe, which was in Porto. There's also been ones in Athens and Torino, which he's been involved in. And he's also participated in meetup groups in Porto and Lisbon. Currently lives in Newison, which is in Idaho in the USA. And he owns a small consulting firm. And you can see the name of that under his name there, Third Party Partners. Builds websites, does business development work for his small business clients. And he's a proofreader for the repository.email, which we're going to mention extensively. He likes to tinker with code. And after years of practice, he can create simple plugins and has learned to spell PHP and CSS. Excellent. You're on my level, Mike.
My goal for 26 is to learn to spell HTML.
Yeah, I've given up on that. Yeah. JavaScript is well beyond me.
Better yet, maybe it should be to define PHP.
Oh no. Bridge too far.
Deep cut.
Nicely done. This show works really well when people contribute. I really appreciate anybody who shows up. Thank you for that. I've just sort of a few bits of advice. If you've not seen the show before, we put it out onto all the platforms that we can manage to do. So, for example, it goes out onto Facebook and LinkedIn and X and what have you. However, most of those platforms don't allow us to ingest your comments. So if you make a comment, it just sort of gets lost there. So if you're listening to this on something other than our website or YouTube, can I recommend that you, probably the easiest thing is to go here. Courtney's sporting the URL there. WPBuilds.com/live. If you go to that page, you'll see YouTube comments on the right-hand side if you're on a desktop. And if you're logged into a Google account, you can make commentary there. However, if you don't have a Google account, there's a little black button top right of the video player. It says live chat, and you can comment in there, and you don't need to be logged into anything. So there we go. Yeah, oh, he's trying to be the top right. That was great. I appreciate that, Taco. Thank you. And we have a few comments coming in from a few different people. Firstly, this person, Online Media Crew. Hello. I don't know that we've met, but they're obviously from Prague, and they're wishing us happy 2026. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, no, to my eternal shame, I've completely gone. What? Is it Gerard or Joe? I'm so sorry. Yeah. Who is it?
Gerard.
Thank you. I feel a little bit
you
less.
You definitely need the Dutchman to pronounce that for you.
Well, every single week recently, he's popped his head up with a comment. And every single week, to my eternal shame, I've forgotten the name. So thank you, Taco. And welcome, 2026. Thank you very much. Elliot, down the road from me, Happy New Year. Elliot, is it chucking it down with snow where you are? We've got about a foot of it. I've got a window there just covered in snow. It's coming down like a blizzard here at the minute, and it's completely upended my life. And then we've got some unpronounceable Welsh thing. Anybody want to have a go at that?
I think he just says Happy New Year and hope you're all well.
That's my guess. I'm going with that. Oh, the next comment, you cheat. Oh, that's great. Happy New Year. Hope you're all well. Thank you. I did not see that.
Taco.
And if you've ever been to Wales, it's really fascinating. So much like in Canada, where you've got French and English as the compulsory languages, if you go through Wales, everything has to be in both Welsh and English. And you sort of go, you know, road signs, and it'll say the name of the town and the Welsh equivalent underneath. The Welsh language, they use so many letters for little words. You know, a little word can be this really long thing.
But then the Germans use really lots of letters in a single word.
Yeah, that's the same in Welsh. Yeah, the words are longer. But look, I was saying that because look. That Welsh version seems to be a lot smaller than the English version. They're quite considerably smaller. Anyway, thank you, Reese.
It also doesn't have 2026 in the Welsh version, so his translation is off by a little bit.
Well, maybe they use like Welsh numbers, which are characters. Who knows? We've gone so off-piste, I apologize. Right. Hello from Trieste, Italy. It's snowing here. Very nice to have you with us. Thank you so much. Marcus Burnett, happy 2026. To some of my favorite people, both on screen and in the chat. That's really nice as well. Lifestyle Change Up Project. Hi, all. Davinda saying Happy New Year. Hope the WordPress world continues to flourish with new things and positive community engagements. I hope that too. And Nomad Skateboarding, thank you very much. Sending good thoughts and energy for everyone. And thank you. He's donated something. That's unusual. Thank you so much. He often does, and I'm very grateful. Clive from...
Kyle. Kyle.
I want him to be Clive Van Dusen from now on. I'm so sorry, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
can it be? Can I say Clive Van Dusen for the rest of this episode? Hello, WP Builds. Happy New Year from Richmond. Is that Virginia? I think it is. That's lovely.
Yes.
Sorry, Kyle.
Not terribly far from me.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's nice.
Kyle, I'm near Gettysburg.
Okay. Happy New Year, says Adam, who's also a GoDaddy. Hello, Patricia. Hello, I love it. I love when friends, we're all in the screen. That's really nice. I will show up here until you get my name right. In that case, I will never get it right. So you keep coming back. This is how I keep my audience. I just screw everything up for them. Happy New Year, says Yash. Nice to have you with us. Elliot's confirming the weather. Yeah, lots of snow here too. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And Clive is Clive's giving us a funny face. So there we go. And we also, whenever we get a comment from the Twitch platform, it's always junk. There you go. Whatever the heck that is. Let's take a look. Twitch is not to be trusted. Right. Okay. So we've done the preamble. Let's get into the bits and pieces that we're supposed to be doing here. First up, this is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you like what we're doing, put your name, your email address into that box, and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. One when we repackage this, what we're recording now as a podcast episode, comes out Tuesday. And then we do an episode on a Thursday as well, which is like an interview. So it's pre-recorded. This is our archive of all of those. We're on 450. So this week's episode will be 451. And you can see, you know, we've got absolutely loads of content stretching back over nearly a decade now. Almost been doing this for a decade. So anyway, there you go. That's what we have got for you. Right. So some content. I have to say a great big thank you. For reasons I won't go into, I was kind of really bad at putting the show notes together this week. Had a few bits and pieces that kind of just got in the way suddenly. And I've just got to say a big thank you to Mike, Courtney and Taco for helping me out. They populated the show notes with lots and lots of things. And here are many of them. So here we go. The year in review, according to the repository, as proofread by Mike. So this is the stories that were most read in 2025. So I'm not saying that they're necessarily the most popular. I don't know what the metric for that is that Ray would have, but these are the ones that were most read. So let's just quickly go through them. And if you want to pause me at any point while I'm reading the titles of those ones, just yell and we'll dig into it a little bit. So here they are. The first one, so I'm guessing this is in the order of the most popular. I don't know if it's like this is the number one, or whether it's just that
one. What the first line says, our most read one this year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, so, okay, Matt Mullenweg shuts down WordPress sustainability team, igniting backlash. I can remember that story. Nobody's interrupting, so I shall move on. The second one was all about the FAIR project, which got mentioned in Courtney's bio. Or was it Taco's bio?
Or Taco.
Yeah. Taco. Yeah, the new FAIR project aims to decentralize WordPress.org services backed by Linux Foundation and hundreds of contributors.
Yes, this was the big announcement last June.
So. And yeah, I think that project is going to get a little bit of a mention. I seem to remember it comes up later in the show, so in which case I'll just move on. Number three was the story about Automattic getting hit with a class action lawsuit over WP Engine dispute. They were accused of anti-competitive tactics, as the title says.
Yeah, by now, that's class action has been dismissed, so that's an update that's already in the article as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. Matt Mullenweg settles caregiver lawsuits days before trial. If it's all right with you, I'm just going to move on from that one because that's a kind of personal one that was obviously very
popular. This is a positive one.
Yeah, so this is a nicer one, isn't it? Yeah. Ollie's menu designer flagged for call with Automattic developers set to help shepherd it. This was really recent, actually, wasn't it? It feels like it was a couple of months ago only. The menu designer, which is actually really, really great. It's a block-based menu designer. I don't know if it's bound to the Ollie theme currently. I've used it with the Ollie theme just because that's where I have used it. And it's a really nice, credible way of building a menu. But the idea will be that it will be shifting to core at some point soon.
I am using and loving that one. And also, because some of our earlier stories reminded me of shows gone by where we needed puppies, kittens, and sheep, my cat just decided to join us right at that moment. He is a tuxedo cat, black and white for the listening audience.
I think there we could go. End the show so here. We've reached the peak cuddles. Of... yeah, that's it. It's getting no better than that. So a black and white cat came. I should go and get my cat, but I don't think it would like me very much if I removed it from its perch on the sofa. So that was a nice one, the Ollie theme and the menu designer. Honestly, it's really good. Go check it out. And curiously, since that announcement, I've seen a few other projects which are purporting to do a very similar thing, not in the exact same way, but there seems to be a lot of attention dropping into navigation in WordPress sites, particularly mobile and mega menus and things like that. Another piece of sad news, this was Automattic cutting 16% of its workforce. That was number seven. Then we got this one, Say Reed accuses Matt Mullenweg of retaliation after the WordPress.org ban. There was a lot swirling around there. Yoast, the human, the person, not the company, banned from WordCamp Asia as Matt Mullenweg brands him persona, is that how you say that? Persona non grata. And number nine, Fork or Fiction, WordPress co-founder bans governance advocate in latest dispute. And number 10, WordCamp Asia 2026 handover sparks tensions between organizers and WordCamp Central. I think this was something about, wasn't it supposed to go to Japan or something like that? And then suddenly it ended up at India. I can't remember how that story landed.
Roughly, and Paco may also have ideas on that one. I think that the issue is that there is quite a bit of offboarding from one year to the next. And a training to onboard the incoming crowd. And that was roughly thrown out the window this time, to my understanding.
Well, it was cut short.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And we've ended up in Mumbai in April this year. I believe it's April the 16th or the 9th or something like that. Can't exactly remember.
Yep.
Any of you guys going to that? I've decided to go now. I'm going to be there. So I'm quite looking forward to that.
I believe
I'd love to
go
back to Mumbai.
Yeah, you've been before. I've never been.
In before,
I would love to go. I just have to find a business reason to.
Yeah, okay.
I think that it's also going to be for folks like Taco and myself. It is at the same time as PressConf. That was PressConf was announced. PressConf checked on the WordCamp Asia dates and scheduled to not conflict. And then the WordCamp Asia dates changed. And so there's a bit of tension, turmoil happening there.
Right. But
the audience for PressConf is not the same necessarily as the audience for WordCamp Asia. For the audience for PressConf, it is ideal for those that are, it is an evolution out of Pressnomics, which is the business of running your WordPress adjacent company. Right. And so, if it is to continue that evolution from what Pressnomics run by Pagely used to be, and Raquel may take this in a different direction entirely, and that's fine. But if it is the continuation or evolution of that, the business audiences are different, except in cases where it's people like Taco and myself, because we have a need to do both.
Right.
And only one part of the globe, like they're halfway around the world.
Yeah, they're literally on opposite sides. They couldn't be further apart, really, could they? So that's curious. And I didn't know. I knew that there was a conflict of date. So I knew that they collided, but I didn't know the piece that you just said about the fact that the WordCamp Asia date may be moved. Maybe it was part of that story there about the one that we have on the screen now. I wonder if the organization for what was going to be a Japanese WordCamp Asia had it at a different time, and then, you know, venues and what have you moved it. So, okay, that's curious. Anyway, there you go. There were the 10 things on the repository this year. If you've not signed up to the repository, go do it. It's therepository.email. It's the most credible source of news in the WordPress space, as far as I'm concerned, written by Ray Moray, who, I don't know if you noticed, was the most recent episode that we had on WP Build. So the circle of virtue completes itself. That's quite nice. Anyway, they were the most popular things.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say off the back of this roundup article, and I mean, the top 10 articles from 2025, 8 out of 10 are negative news.
Yeah, that was my... That was where I was going to go just before we segue. That's fascinating, isn't it?
I just hope that we have a better year in 2026 and that next year we'll have at least 8 out of 10 top stories being achievements and new products and innovation and things where the WordPress community excelled, because that is what we need, and we don't need the drama like we had last year.
Do you know what's curious is I've been doing this live show where we sum up the news, not quite a decade, but I don't know, maybe it's seven and a half something years. And I don't remember a news cycle. Basically, for that 7.5 years, the whole enterprise has been positive stuff. It's been just a catalogue of, oh, look, this curious thing happened, this interesting thing happened. Oh, wasn't that nice? That's really punctuated every so often, once in a blue moon, by something a bit weird and unusual. And it does seem as if 2025, the latter part of 2024, for reasons we all know that we don't need to go into, we've been clouded with a little bit of that, haven't we? There's lawsuits going on. There's, you know, disagreements in the community about the direction of the project and so on and so forth. And I share that, Taco. I would love to put that sort of dark cloud behind us and get onto something where it's relentlessly positive. Yeah.
I would love. Oh, Mike.
Let's go, Mike.
Sure. You know, if you look at that list, so many of them were early in the year. And as I think about the kind of stories that got published and the things we've talked about in the latter half of the year, they have been more predominantly positive, lots of positive things happening. And while I'm not sure the metrics behind this either, how Ray brought it up, but her note said these were the most read stories. It it sort of reflects the fact that we as humans gravitate toward bad news or controversial things. So,
yeah, that's right.
But my hope would be when we get to this point at the end of 2026, early 2027, we look at the list and it's flipped, that there's 8 out of 10 that are are really, really positive and uplifting kind of stories.
I agree. And the reason I made my commentary was that over those 7.5, 8 years, whatever it's been, you literally couldn't find the bad news. It just it couldn't be surfaced because it wasn't there. Apart from the occasional, like I said, strange thing, but now we've had a year of that. We'll just have to wait and see how that comes. But I share Mike, I share your thoughts, I share Taco's thoughts, and Adam in the comments, Adam Warner says, you know, well said.
My hope is that for any of these pieces that were not, that there isn't an update. We saw an update for a few of them, but I would love to see a continuation of what happened to. Because as we look at this project being now 22 or 23 years old, there is a historical tendency when things are kind of going well to feel like those issues that are left unresolved are no longer an issue. And I would like to see that things that need to be addressed are addressed well. But my cat has been convinced that this is the end of focusing on bad news in this episode because he just left.
Your cat's got all the right intuition. It's all good from here. In fact, I'm going to say that's the last bit of weird stuff for the year 2026 on this show. It gets good for the remaining 11¾ months. Speaking of which, speaking of cats, this is not a segue. It's got nothing to do with cats, but I thought I'd say it. Marcus has said that number 11, had 11, would have been about the creation of a new WAPU card game, but alas, it was just the top 10 list. And there it is. There's the oh, it's still in out reach. Of focus. Oh. There is the card game.
Yeah, so mine is almost arm's reach.
I was lucky enough to get two card games from Marcus to give away at our local meetup in December.
Yeah,
and so I did, which means that I end up with none. So.
You need a other.
Come and win the game because I want to play it.
Yeah, it is a good game. I've actually done it with my kids, and it kept us entertained. It's really great. It's back in the box now, but we'll be going to be we don't often talk about WAPU, but we're going to be mentioning it again a little bit later. Something Nick Hamsey mentioned. So thanks for the comments coming in. We've got people saying they'd love to go. Well, Reese in this case, saying he'd like to go to WordCamp Asia, but watching the Indian Premier Cricket League that is happening at the same time is not a justifiable business reason, he says. Okay, fair enough.
It is.
Yeah, I think so. I think your accountant could swing that with a bit of invention.
All you have to do is pick up one client, Reese. Come on, you can.
That's
do
right. Or just go and say the words WordPress while you're watching.
Exactly.
Whilst you're watching the cricket. Yash is saying that he'd love to see us all in WordCamp Asia in Mumbai.
Yeah. Yash, you got it. And I'll also see you at team meeting later today.
Nice.
Yash is on my team.
Yeah, and yes, that's right. Yeah, I've met Matt Yash. That's lovely. Okay, right, let's move on. Let's go to the next piece, which is actually, curiously, something that Courtney has been working on. And, well, I could try to preempt.
Yeah, so I needed to check on how Lynx previewed for something before I shared it on the web. And I wanted to see, there are a number of tools out there that already do this, where you just pick whatever website URL, and you want to make sure that if you share it on Twitter or Facebook or where have you, that it's going to look right. So you fill in your link there. You can put in just to the top level domain or down to a specific article, hit analyze, and it's going to tell you on more platforms what this will look like. So we get some of the normal ones, and they all link out to where the docs are when appropriate. So if you need to go read more and things like that, you could see how things will appear. And this actually really helped me with getting some of the, there was one, Nathan, that had like a little postage stamp thumbnail kind of preview there.
Yeah, where was that? Was it this
Slack.
One?
Slack. Slack. So
yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah. So thinking about, do I want to optimize for the weird thumbnails that on some of the platforms, like some of the places where the text goes off the screen or not, may or may not matter to you. I'm not saying that anyone should do that, but if you feel like that would be helpful to you, this will give you a quick way to preview through some of that. Discord is about the same, but they just kind of mirror it there.
Yeah.
So you can find all the debug logs that are there. And the reason that I built this is actually because I was going to, a little bit of self-promotion in here for GoDaddy. I was going to show off the GoDaddy app builder that is announced in beta, but I wanted to see how it would preview before I shared it. So for the audience's benefit, this is similar to other platforms like Lovable or Replit or a few others. And with it, you dump in your prompt, it can build an app for you. And with GoDaddy, you could get the hosting. And so just to test things a little bit, Nathan, I don't know if you want to grab that. There's a prompt at the end of our show notes.
Okay, right.
So, I don't know if you want to give that a drop clear, it in so and that, test it.
Yeah, I'm just going to be clear so that everybody knows what's going on. So firstly, this one is called ogpreviewlab.com. Links will be in the show notes. I mean, you can see it there. It's this word, all as one word, .com. And you can see that it reveals basically where you've fallen short on your social previews and things. So, you know, in most situations, the square or the rectangle seems to work. But in some situations like this one, TikTok, it's were all T-way.
The nice thing is the only place you see those go on, it doesn't actually preview the link. And it kind of tells you that down below, like TikTok's not a platform. You might see it in DMs or something.
Okay, got it.
You know, Okay,
so that's that. But Courtney was then making the point that she'd built this over the holidays using the GoDaddy Aero system. And the URL for that is Aero, but it's maybe not how you'd imagine. It's AIRO-builder.godaddy.com. And then the idea is that you can, like, trial out a SaaS app. And right, so I'm looking at the bottom of the show notes. Where's the prompt? Is it
the very last page?
Is it all of that that I'm highlighting now? Or do I?
If you would like to deviate, you may. I just wanted one that I felt would be very show appropriate. So the prompt, while Nathan is considering his options that I gave it, is to build an app for Nathan to generate show titles.
Okay.
Because some show titles can have catchier names than others.
So, Courtney, the bit that I'm highlighting in the Google Doc, would you just go for the first line, or is it more like the whole thing?
You could dump the whole thing if you wanted to build it. So, to be clear, people can come in and describe the app idea. You could also partner with other AI systems like I did to give it, you know, the more that you talk to AI to get the prompts refined, the less tokens you're going to spend on the one that's actually doing the heavy lifting, right? And so this might just be a little bit, oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. If Nathan doesn't wish to log in right now, it's fine.
I might be able to log in, but I don't. My password manager's not loaded up, so I'd have to go through
that
full preamble.
Yep.
However, I can promote you in a minute. If you want to put the same prompt into your screen, I can promote you whilst we're talking about something else, and you can then share your own screen in a moment. How about we do that? So the idea here then is Courtney decided that she would love for me to get something where I can generate podcast show titles and build the app. Obviously, in this situation, we've encountered this slight problem because I'm not logged into GoDaddy in any way, shape, or form. So let's go with that. In a minute, I'll promote you on this platform and you can show it to me. So we'll move on whilst that's going on in the background. You're going to copy and paste.
Nathan, while we transition, this is Lily. She's an 8-month-old Boston Terrier, and she had to come in and just say, hey, equal time for puppies.
Look at that. Okay.
And her tongue is just perfect
Her tongue is like a lizard. Yeah. she's on the way to the vet this morning, so she's on her way out right now.
But have you ever noticed what happens to people's faces in the proximity of animals? Like, I was just looking at all four of you. All four of you had a great big grin on your face, and all it took was Mike to bring a dog onto the screen and Courtney's cat, and we're all like, exactly. It's lovely. Okay.
To be fair, my initial thought was, that's a strange cat.
Yeah, that is a strange cat.
But that made sense.
Okay, so whilst Aero, the app builder, is sort of chugging away in the background on Courtney's screen, we'll come back to that. Courtney thought that
I did a version in one of my test accounts for you ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
To be sure that my prompt would be dollarable. Right?
Okay, in which case, let me change your permissions. Right, you.
No, I've got it sharing to you.
Have you?
Yes.
How does that work? How have you made it? How have you shared it to me? What have you done?
At the bottom of the screen, the share that's there.
I don't see it. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, it's because it's kind of because there's two rows of the shares. I didn't see it. Okay, lovely.
Oh, there we go.
Right. Show us what's going on then.
Yeah. So I thought that for Nathan, we should have, you know, a podcast title generator for all of the many podcast episodes that he does, and gave it three options, knowing Nathan's humor, entirely over the top. Think Mr. Bean level bombastic, right?
That sounds about right.
Middle of the road, which is, you know, kind of could be useful.
Yeah.
And then useful and practical, which might not actually get people's attention.
Okay.
So I gave it just a prompt. You could see here is the prompt that I gave to Nathan back in the near the top. And it understood. Here is my big, long prompt.
It was about 500 words, but it was all very sort of like on message, wasn't it? Part of the prompt was what you'd expect. Yeah.
It will come back and say, like, I told it to use color schemes that are inspired by the British Isles. So there you go.
Gray. All gray.
If it looks as it does, this is no commentary on me. It is a commentary on what partnering with ChatGPT thought that would be a very appropriate option there. So I go back and forth with it just a few times. And this, again, all free if you have a login, which is free to GoDaddy.com. So you could come in, test it all out. There are a certain number of prompts that you can get through in a day. This is in beta at this time. And then if you would like to actually go and ship it, you can test it out in a new tab, but also you have a publish option. There is a publish link that you could get. But also conveniently, when you work with GoDaddy, we have domains and hosting available, so this can just gracefully migrate to that. This is kind of something that I'll be focusing on with the GoDaddy app builder experience, the Aero builder experience, over the next year, really. And I'm thinking through some of the logistics of, like, what's the use case for a lot of these things? Who is most excited by these, right? And so hobby projects that I've come across are like, oh, it's really great to set up a link preview, like I demonstrated. Nathan may want something that is a podcast title generator that maybe he could load a show notes up to it.
Yeah,
and it would come back with, like,
make
the podcast titles for us or something like that. And you can,
because at the end of each episode, I try to come up with something that happened in the show, which is kind of like a bit lighthearted usually and a bit silly. So how does it work then? What do I have to just sort of, do I just type in who was on it or just some sort of generic thing about what this show was about?
Let's give one a quick test. So I did this within 5 minutes before today's episode began.
Okay.
So what should I put in for the topic?
Okay, say New Year's episode featuring three guests, dogs and cats and WordPress news. Let's go with that.
Three guests.
That's actually not dogs, a bad title. Let's go with that one.
And WordPress. Much better than Taco's Rally situations.
Okay, so then it's going to generate
over
the
titles. some of them are quite lengthy.
Yeah.
On the moral imperative of New Year's episode. My. Deconstructing New Year's episodes featuring those things.
Do you know, it's interesting. So, I have used AI to do this kind of thing before just to see what it would come up with. And it generally does go a bit more verbose. It doesn't seem to have that sort of pithy nature to it, you know, that sort of curtailing it.
You know, I still go back and say same prompt and useful and practical.
Okay.
And let's see what we get. And I'm thinking, too, that if you don't like the options that this made for you, you just go back to the chat and say, like, oh, could you custom tailor it to do this or that a little bit more for me?
Put in the topic and say, yeah, under 100 words and see. Sorry, not 100 words, under 100 characters. See if it can match that. That's sometimes something that I think is quite useful to do. Let's see what we get. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, they're all the same.
They're all fairly. Yeah, they're all
very boring.
It's useful and practical. Let's go back.
This is where we've got to in the year 2026 with AI.
But the idea here, though, is that, you know, if you don't like what the app currently already does, then you just chat its way through to do more and more. So I might have tried to dial up the bombastic nature, and it may or may not have gotten that. So I might then expand it into things like giving it words that I wanted to use if we're going for the over the top.
Interesting. It feels like the So obviously we've got Aero, you've built a little app, and I guess the idea with this app is that really it would be something that I would use. It would be something that just for me, basically, in this scenario, you know, it's a title generator. It feels like a lot of the conversation about AI is moving in that way during the latter part of 2025, these little, almost like disposable apps that are just something personal to you, you know, some workflow that you've got that probably nobody else will ever make use of. Yeah, sorry, Taco, say again.
Look at the latest comment coming in. That's exactly that.
Yeah. So what have we got? We got here Adam. Adam is with Courtney at GoDaddy. He said, I've never used this feature before. I presume he's talking about the Aero app builder.
No, he's not.
No, he's used that.
He's talking about donating money.
Oh, well, that made me one of... Oh, I see. Oh, thank you. Oh, Adam. Well, gosh. Thanks. Okay. This is the year of giving, it would seem. Oh, I feel somewhat humbled. Thank you so much. What's he saying, though? Noting that a free GoDaddy account is all that's needed to use the Aero beta builder. And I don't know who this is.
This one.
This is Maya. Is this Maya who's written this?
Yeah.
Is that her handle?
Yes.
So Maya Longcar, who also is with GoDaddy, created a maths game for a six-year-old in 30, I guess, minutes or something. My friend Sammy was happy with it. That's nice. Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't put in a whole lot of time on the link preview one. I did say, here is a color palette. I went off to a color palette generator website and picked out the colors I wanted and told Aero, here's what I want. I went and looked up. I am not a designer. I think that Tammy Lister is phenomenal. She knows terms like maximalist or minimalist, or there's a couple of other Art Nouveau, you know, those kind of terms. If you know design terms, you could tell it, I want it styled after this kind of a design term. I just give it the British Isles for inspiration.
It's not a good prompt.
No.
I'm with Mike. I'm still struggling to spell CSS, so it's a long way away. This title generator, says Marcus, needs to know that it should be British humor and have 10 about 10 previous examples of each style.
That would help it. Yep.
You give it some context.
So I would probably go to ChatGPT then and say, here are show titles Nathan has used. Write them in the tone of Mr. Bean.
Okay. Right.
And then say, here's the examples now. Build from that.
If we remember at the end of this episode, let's try and, when we press stop, let's try and use that to come up with this week's title. Let's see if that's possible. I'm going to hide that one from the screen now.
Ask a quick question?
Of course you can.
Courtney, if Nathan's using this and wants to reuse it again next week, does he have to regenerate it or is it saved somewhere?
It's saved in your account.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you can build
up
this.
So there's been projects that I've started. I'm working on one. I don't know if I want to tell people the hilarious one that it will be, but I am working on one that does something not terribly different from Podcast Generator, but going for the over-the-top kind of an option. And it's just sitting there for the last week or so. There is an expiration, I think, of if you haven't touched it in more than a week, then it may auto-delete. So you're encouraged to come back and test it at least once a week. Or if you
works for me,
buy the domain and get the hosting, then it stays.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So just to let you know again, currently in beta, aero-builder.godaddy.com. I'll put that into the show notes and it says, share your idea and we'll handle the rest. We'll build it for you from concept to live web app. So it is a brave new world and we'll get onto loads of AI starting in just a minute because there's an awful lot.
I am eager to hear from people too on like the pros and cons of these kind of tools and how might you use them. Like I could think of a lot of use cases for personal little side project kind of things. But I'm interested to hear if people have something that is a lot bigger than that or a whole different direction than that or your favorite gripes and complaints about when these kinds of tools are the ones that are building websites. Because, hey, we're in the business of WordPress right now.
I kind of want, I want AI to be more that than this big giant monolith thing. I would like it to be more kind of bespoke personal stuff rather than something which we're all co-opted into the same exact thing as everybody else. I can't quite encapsulate what I'm trying to say there, but I do like the idea of a little thing which only you use because it perfectly maps onto what it is that you're trying to achieve in that week or what have you. So for example, something to do with accountancy, you've got to file your taxes, but there's some little thing that you can't quite work out. You build up a little app which will help you get over that bridge, and then you collapse it. The next week, you don't need it anymore, and away it goes. Those kind of things seem, really useful. So we're joined by Anne. Hello, Anne. She says she missed the start. Don't worry.
Oh, we'll go back. Don't worry.
Yeah, we can start again if you'd like. Yeah, shall we?
Cats and dogs.
We'll go back to that 2 minutes.
Well, we can't. The puppy's off to the flat. I'm sorry. You'll have to replay.
Also, Marcus is trying to really leverage this now. Look, he says, give me a transcript instead of a one-sentence description would also provide better results. I can do that. I can provide a transcript. That's great. Right. Yeah, here we go. Pro productivity, con equals large wasteland of abandoned internet. Yeah, indeed. Right, there's so much AI stuff. Courtney, I'm going to have to rip through because of the time.
You're going to have to rip through
a bunch of these bits and different bits and pieces. So if it's all right with you, Courtney's built something else, and I'm going to put them on the screen and then we're going to have to quickly move on. But Courtney has also built the WordPress MetaTrack MCP server. Very briefly, tell us what this is.
So I will give credit first to James LePage at Automattic for creating the WordPress track MCP server. So if you want to work with Claude or ChatGPT or the others, and you want it to look at where the actual tickets are in WordPress about bugs, James came out first with the WordPress track MCP server, and that is reflected in my GitHub profile about these things. I basically just said, let's fork this and include all of track. So before GitHub, we had track, and we still use track as the definitive source for core. If you go log a bug or something like that, it's core.track.wordpress.org. So that's more the definitive source of bugs or features or what have you that's coming that is related to anything that's, well, basically not Gutenberg. And so there are other teams in WordPress besides core that use track. This is what the meta team uses to handle, we need to tweak something on a bit of the website or the plugins repo. They maintain the tickets for how not the plugins being reviewed. How the plugin directory functions is one of the track systems that we have. And what if I wanted to contribute to that? How would I query specific issues and find them and know and use that in a research model? So you can add MCP servers to many of the AI systems that are out there. And this one will give you access to all of the WordPress.org tracks that exist all in one batch. When I originally rolled it out yesterday, I just named it Meta because I was aiming for the Meta team. But then it was really easy to say, go find the others and add them too.
Neat. So there they are. Yeah.
So this was, again, a vibe coded project. This is me working with Claude Code and forking what James actually made.
I've got no hope of reading the URL out, but I have copied and pasted it into the show notes, so it'll be there because it's too long to basically read out as a lot of these things are. Also, I'm just going to, so this was
the GitHub for it.
Yeah, I was going to say this is the GitHub for it. Again, links in the show notes. There's the MCP server link in GitHub.
This is a different one. Not all MCP servers are equal, Nathan.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about MCP servers. Really,
this is the next set of. So the next thing, next story is Agent Skills. Automattic rolled this one out over holiday break. I think I saw again. This was, I think, James may have shared it. So if you are digging into tools like Claude, they use different agents. You could say this agent is amazing at running code sniffer tests. That agent is good at product ideation. This agent is good for this thing or that thing. And so what this one is it tells you, we've got an agent now, so a figurative AI, we'll call it a person, it's not a person, a person that is skilled in specifically knowing everything there is to know about WordPress Playground. That's included. There are other agents that are here as well. So devs would be really interested in knowing what some of these agents are and saying, I'm working with Claude Code or I'm working with whatever AI tool and I want it to have personas And those personas are going to understand certain skill sets. And this is what those skill sets are and what they mean.
Yeah,
so this just gives you a library of those descriptions ready to go.
And finally, I presume this is bound to that as well. Not quite. No. Okay. Before I go on to that one, in that case, I'll just say a couple of things about what you're saying here. So what I find really curious is that at some point in the year 2025, then I'm going to use a long word, the nomenclature of AI started to get away from me. And I don't know if Mike and Taco are sort of feeling the same way. If, like me, and you haven't really invested a ton of time into AI, we're now at the point where a lot of it is starting to be acronyms and phrases and words, which kind of, I can kind of keep a bit of purchase on it. But we're now at the point where a lot of it to me is just like, I don't even know what that means anymore. And so we've moved so far away from like the WordPress that I knew and understood and had a real understanding of the whole thing. Now to, okay, now we've got WordPress over there and all this AI stuff which binds to it and all of the vernacular that goes around that. That chasm is widening for me. And I've got a choice, haven't I? I can either learn or turn my back on it and say, that's not really for me. You know, I'm 50 something, so maybe that's not for me and what have you. But I don't know if Mike or Taco, you've noticed the same thing, if whether it's sort of escaping from you a little bit at a growing rate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the word chasm is probably a good one. And I think back to the story that came out right before the end of the year out of State of the Word, where there were several different articles published by one of the AI team members about here's how we need to incorporate AI into core WordPress. And that generated some controversy along the lines of, you know, some people saying, yeah, this would be a great thing. And others saying, wait a minute, why would we do this? And I come down on the why would we do it side of the thing, because it introduces a whole level of complexity, to your point, Nathan. I mean, just the naming of things, not to mention how they work. And for many of us who are building small sites and running very small agencies, that is complete overkill for kind of what we do. And so, you know, for the folks who need it, go with God, you know, have at it, make it work. But for a whole bunch of folks in the ecosystem, it's capability that we may never understand, let alone use.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. That was insightful. What do you think, Taco? Same sort of thing for you, or are you kind of in the AI camp a bit more than
I am, Pat? It depends. So if I'm around the WordPress people, the James LePage, Felix Arns, Courtney, people who are using AI, who are using Claude Code all day long, I very much feel like I'm falling behind to a point where I'm not sure I'll be able to keep up at all at some point. Then when I talk to my wife, my in-laws,
okay,
run a completely different business,
yeah.
It's quite apparent that I'm still at the forefront of using AI and understanding what's happening. I'm just not the person to build the next thing. But
okay, I love that.
Someone's battle tested it. I'll happily use it and make the most out of it and teach others.
Yeah, I love that because that gives me some sort of purchase. So I'm not alone in that. And also, you've got your wife and family. I think I'm going to use my cat as the foil. I'm better than my cat.
The translation machine. You're going to build it.
But there's another three letter acronym we need for these scenarios, which is the CCP, the Conversation Context Protocol. So you know who you're talking to and where you stand in relation to them.
I thought you were going to say WTF, but
that too. Yes.
I would dare say, Nathan, that I am somewhere between I feel like a lot of my work is to bridge something like what we see Felix and James and others that are really pioneering this area. I'm just forking what they're doing sometimes, quite literally.
But we're
like integrating it into my stuff and then turning around and explaining, okay, Taco, here's how this could help you with your role at Progress Planner. What if you had an agent at Progress Planner that was specifically had all of the knowledge that comes with WP Product Talk? That agent has all of those skills. And then you had another agent that was good at social media marketing. And you had this, you know, it's agents are kind of like a way of breaking that down.
I find that
my role is to sort of be that connection or that bridge between devs who speak more code than human and humans that are at least aware code exists.
I think it's going to be a really interesting year, though, the year 2026, because there's going to be, I feel like we've had a fairly big tidal wave of the AI stuff. I feel 2026 is maybe that tidal wave is going to be even bigger. And it will be interesting to see how everybody stays afloat in amongst all of that. So there's people like me who I'm fascinated by it. I'm not particularly minded to play with it on a sort of foundational level like you appear to be, Courtney, but I'm very happy to sort of mess around with the product that's produced by other people and to get into conversations. But it will be interesting to see how well people like me can keep up, or whether it just becomes like, I don't really get it anymore, but I'm happy to just play with what you're playing with. So that'll be kind of interesting. She says,
wow,
what? Do you need the context for this one? Is it me or is a bazooka not some kind of like massive weapon that you fire like cannons?
Is she going to the rally?
She's obviously upset by something. I love it. She's built a lot. So Anne in the comments has said that she built a lot of bazookas during the holiday. I hope nobody was hurt during
a lady of many talents.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, so that was my kind of interesting point. 2026, it will be interesting to see how far that conversation stretches people like me and whether or not I can even communicate on any level. And so that was prompted a little bit by the bits and the pieces that Courtney was raising there. I'm going to skip over the Rich thing, if that's all right, because of time.
That's just how Rich writes his blog posts.
Yeah, I'll link to it in the show notes there. There it is. It's about technical writing and how you can get AI to help you with that. I didn't put this in. This is the first time anybody's ever put in any of my content without me doing it. So I'm delighted. Mike decided that he wanted to mention a WP Tavern episode that I did in the latter part of 1996? No, 2025 with Topher. Any reason you picked this one out, Mike?
Well, yeah, I wanted to suck up to the host.
Oh, I love it. Honesty.
No.
And it worked.
That's the best comment I've had.
Now, I listen to podcasts while I'm doing other things, right? And this is one I listened to as I was doing some work around the house the other day, and I've known of Topher, you know, for a while, but have never really read or watched any of his stuff. And listening to the interview, it just struck me that this was the kind of guy that I wanted to interact with in the community. I felt like he was just very genuine, had a very kind of philanthropic outlook. You know, he's doing a lot of volunteer work. And I liked the approach he talked about, where he said, you know, I didn't set out to be well known. I set out to do good work.
Yeah.
And so, it just was an excellent opportunity to learn about another human being that I walked away going, gee, I'd like to know that guy more. And I'm now a subscriber to his YouTube channel, and we're chatting on Mastodon, and so it made a worthwhile connection. So I appreciate you doing that interview.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and that actually did make me choke. I had to switch my microphone off. That was genuinely hysterically funny. I love that. But this is why I love podcasts. I love that kind of, I'm doing the chores around the house. I'm vacuuming. I'm out in the garden digging out the weeds or whatever I am doing. And I've got this thing going on in the background, and it may not be what I'm giving 100% of my attention to, but I'm getting something from it. And I've always loved that about audio content. My personal impression, and I know that this is not shared by the majority of people out there, my personal impression is that I love audio way more than video, because of that capacity to be getting on with other things at the same time. I've always loved it as a medium, always listened to radio over telly and those kind of things. And so the other thing that I was going to say, get yourself on a podcast. If you've got a message like Topher has, put yourself on a podcast, and it has this serendipitous, wonderful effect that people like Mike will listen to it. It may not be thousands, it may be a couple of dozen or whatever it is, but the message drops, the penny drops for some people, whether you've got a product or a service or you're just community related content. There's a massive audience out there for podcast listeners, and I appreciate you, Mike, saying that. That's absolutely lovely, and that's why I began the whole thing, to so that encounters like that would happen. And I'm pleased that you found Topher and are enjoying what he's doing. That's absolutely lovely. And Nomad Skateboarding has a comment just saying Topher is lovely. He's awesome.
That's really fully nice. Agree.
Yeah, really nice. Okay, thank you.
I don't want to steal your shine now, Nathan, because I do agree that episode is fantastic. And if you like that sort of deep dive into who is this person in the WordPress community, I can also recommend the podcast by Bud Krause.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and he also has an episode with Topher.
Yeah.
Definitely can recommend.
Yeah, he's got the Seriously Bod podcast. I think I've tried to Google that before, and he immediately dominates the number one spot. So you can just Google Seriously Bod, and you'll get to his website. And he holds he's such a raconteur, his Bod. You know, he's got the gift of the gab in spades, and he's we've had a conversation today, actually. He's been trying out the Podcast The Plus plugin, which Dan and I have been building, and can't quite make it work to his specific needs, but it's been interesting seeing what he wants out of his podcast and things like that. So yeah, thank you. That's another good podcast recommendation. Okay, so that was the Tavern episode. Appreciate that, Mike. That's lovely. Right, moving on very quickly. This one. Where was this one? Who dropped this one in? This was Mike.
Mike's.
Yeah.
So this isn't related to WordPress necessarily. Well, I don't think it is. You wanted to drop in this one about New Year's resolutions and things like that. I confess, I couldn't read it until just now, because it was behind a paywall. So we've gone to thearchive.org or archive.ph. Why did you drop this one in? What was the message in this?
Well, it's partly part of it is it's timely. You know, it's the time of year where lots of folks are thinking about New Year's resolutions, what they want to do differently in the year. And this one was interesting because it basically was saying the way we think about and structure our New Year's resolution sets us up for failing. Because we tend to do it in a binary kind of way. It's either we're either successful at it or we fail, because we set them up as results oriented. You know, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to run a marathon, whatever. And if you step up that track for whatever reason, which most of us do, then by February, your resolution's falling apart. And you're probably going to drop it, and you're not going to get that benefit that you were looking for. So they propose an approach in here. I won't go through the steps, but it boils down to thinking about changing your behavior or changing yourself in an iterative kind of way. Instead of measuring your progress over a year, measure it over a week and say, I have this long-term goal that I'd like to you know, become a person who eats better or something. And I'm going to set a small goal for the next week, and I'm going to work on that. And if I make it, great. If I don't, the world hasn't ended. I'll start over next week and set a new goal. And particularly for those of us who've done software development, thinking in iterative terms is a natural way for us to think. You know, things don't spring forward fully developed. That's why we have betas and alphas, et cetera. So thinking about it this way, it really comes down to just saying, let's pick one small habit, pick something that can be done in the next week, measure it, put it on the calendar, and then next week, pick the next thing. And so over time, the cumulative benefit gets you closer and closer to that ultimate goal you set.
Yeah, I like that.
I had to sit and think about it yesterday for a while and go, okay, I don't usually set New Year's resolutions.
No.
Because of the problem.
Yep.
But I've set what I'm calling a New Year's intention, and I'm going to follow it, and I'll come back at some point and tell you how I've done. But it just was a useful way to think about something we all try to do and generally all fail at. So hopefully this will give people a way to make some progress.
Yeah, it's kind of curious how we all have this, well, not all of us, but many of us have this kind of holiday period all at the same time. And any amount of downtime for me, my brain starts wandering into the parts of my life that I generally don't have time for. More expansive thoughts when I'm not working, you know, oh, this thing could happen or I could do this. And so that kind of maps onto the New Year's resolution, this bold, big new thing that you're going to do. And then as soon as the Monday back New Year's, you know, New Year's Day passes, the first Monday, everybody's back to work, then the walls come in, don't they? And the sort of reality of life sort of drops and you're back to kind of not achieving that thing. I should have written about 48 books by now. but it's never got to page one.
Yeah, so this is actually interesting because my wife decided that she wanted to pick up running. Mm. I don't know why we have a car, but she wants to pick up running. And the method that she found said the first step is to schedule a time in your calendar when you'll start running. Then when that time comes, you don't go out and run. You look at your calendar and go, look, I scheduled this. That's fantastic. Done for this week. And then the next time you even put on your running gear. You don't go out for a run. You just do that achievement of putting on your running gear. And that's the 1% better every time, 1% better every day. Yeah. That will get you towards actually being able to complete the run.
I think the running thing is such a great idea because it's such an atomic task, isn't it? In that you can achieve the run in the space of, let's say, 20 minutes. It could be begun and ended. And although the broader notion of getting fit via running is probably the end goal, it can be atomized into 500 different small runs this year, each of which is over and finished and done with in a very small space of time. And I never atomize the task in that way. I always just have this, oh, I'm going to write a book. And it's like, but how do I write a book? What are the processes that are required to write a book? I don't care. I'm going to write a book. And that, therefore I fail. But I like it. I like the idea of that, you know, even a part of the success is just getting the stuff ready. So for me, maybe if I do actually wish to write a book, part of the thing would be find the right software. That would be January's task. Learn to use the software might be February's tasks and so
or
on.
Or get yourself a decent notebook.
I'll get myself.
That is a very nice notebook. I especially like the purple accents on it.
This thing, I could get 25 books in this, but it's never quite happened. Okay, so there we go. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Just one footnote, Nathan, because you mentioned you weren't able to read it. I think for folks who go to look at that article and follow the link, you'll probably have to create a free account on Fast Company.
Yeah, over this neck of the woods, I've either consumed too many free articles and they sort of block me out, or... you're a bunch of web developers who listen to this. You'll figure out clever ways of making it so you can read that wherever the heck it is. However, in what is a first for this podcast, I'm going to say the word Snoop Dogg. That's never happened before. So Reese Wynn is a high performer of people like Snoop Dogg, allegedly, he says. High performers, according to Topher. It's Topher. Topher's here. Check it out, Mike. Your dream has come true. High performers are just high wire acrobats. That was really nice.
He's been summoned.
Comment earlier. He says it's Topher. As Topher says, is tingling. I'm guessing that somebody alerted Topher to the fact that his name was mentioned on this podcast. I certainly hope that was the case. If not, I would love to know if he actually has Topher senses. If so, I want to hear more about that. Okay, so there we go. That was the New Year's resolution thing. We've got about 15 minutes left and we're nowhere near through what we were going to do. So I'm really going to race through these. Forgive me. First one, the release schedule, the proposed release schedule for 2026 for WordPress 7.1 has been announced. If I'm right in, I think I'm still right in saying that it is going to be each of the releases. We're going back to three rather than two. And each of them is going to coincide with one of the flagship events. So WordCamp Asia. Sorry, Taco.
Almost. Fortunately, because WordCamp Asia, WordCamp Europe, and WordCamp US are way too close to each other,
right?
We're skipping WordCamp Europe. So instead of having a release at WordCamp Europe, that will be at the end of the year.
Okay, thank you. I'd missed that piece of news. That's great. Because I remember you wrote a piece on the Progress Planner blog all about how that was going to be sort of constrained in time. Okay, so but three schedules, 7.1 and so on. And you can see the dates. I'll link to this in the show notes. You can see the dates, the release candidate dates and what have you.
Yes. I think the best news is that we're back to three releases in a year from the two that we had in 2025.
Yeah, really, really nice. Yeah, it feels like we're back on firm ground, which is lovely. Okay. Taco, you dropped this one in. It was the plugin team 22nd of December.
Yeah, I was looking at what was published over the holidays, basically. And this is one of the team updates that was posted to the Make WordPress blog. And what stood out for me is that we have a ginormous number of plugins that have been reviewed by the team, have been replied to by our plugins team, and are now waiting for a reply from the plugin submitter, plugin builder, plugin owner, developer, whatever you want to call it.
Gosh, that's a turnaround, isn't it?
Well, there's also plugins in the queue still. That's the 344 number that you see.
Yeah.
But about 10 times that has been waiting for a response from the plugin submitter for over 7 days. And that means that our plugins team did the work, did the review, gave some feedback, and then didn't hear back for at least 7 days.
How do you parse that? Are you thinking AI submitted stuff, or are you thinking holidays? That kind of thing?
No, so this was posted on the 22nd of December.
So basically
the first 3 weeks of December, as I understood it. I'm afraid that a lot of this is AI-generated plugins where the review team pointed out some improvements that need to be made and people didn't even bother to respond.
Oof, yeah.
I'm wondering if they even are paying attention to what email they get. And in addition to that, I've actually helped, I think Dion does this with me, on several of the releases. I have helped, Scott Riley, longtime contributor to Meta. Both of them are amazing folks to work with. So each time that we have a major release in WordPress, they send out the email, go do your plugin bump test. And there's a link coming up that, if we've got time to share, the NPM link will help people that need to do what's called the bump test, make sure that your plugin works with all of the new changes in the next release. And so what's happening is that a lot of people don't respond to those things. And after so many times of getting not responses from those as well, your plugin could be at risk. So check your emails when the plugin team emails you. If you submit something to them, watch your emails and make sure that you don't have that particular address automatically going into spam, trash, what have you.
So Troy in the comments is saying, that's crazy. Feel bad for the review team. Maybe that's sort of slightly massaged by what we just said. But Philip, hello, Philip. Maybe there's more to come to this comment. He just says, being a plugin developer with the help of Google Gemini. Yeah, there's more. I have to hide that one first. I love the responses from the plugin team, but as you said, many people ignore the emails. The plugin team is very, in capital letters, helpful. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So there's somebody who's creating plugins by the sounds of it with the help of AI, who's also checking their emails, which is quite nice. Which is
Do you suppose that some number of these folks who haven't replied are people who have somehow vibe coded a plugin and they get some feedback on it and they don't know what to do about it?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's like a one-shot thing. If it didn't work the first time, then it's not, well, that was it. That's not.
Yeah. Cool. Or it could be, never mind, I'll just use this for myself and not publish it. That's fine as well. Something like that.
We need guardrails for that, though, don't we? Because if that statistic is going to... So let's imagine that... I don't know. Let's imagine that that statistic that we're looking at on the page. So somewhere in the region, approximating 4,000 plugins are now in a sort of holding pattern where the review team has done its work. If that continues to grow throughout the year 2026, then that's needless work by the sound of it. It seems like the plugin review team are being tasked with things which probably, you know, never going to get built or never going to get shipped because the developer's never going to respond to the email. So that's definitely a new kind of horizon that we need to worry about.
And the one thing that every open source project lacks is volunteer hours.
Mm.
And if we're burning them on people who are not serious about maintaining a plugin, that's a waste. And I hope we can do better this year.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well,
and this is the group that, isn't this the group that a year ago plowed through their backlog and got it down to nearly nothing?
Now,
because of some other factor, they're back underwater again.
Yeah. Well, curiously, the seesaw has tipped in the other direction, hasn't it? The plugin review team have obviously done their work, but maybe there'll be that sort of disgruntled feeling if you're a plugin review team member that this was all for naught. I've spent my valuable time for something which nobody ever really intended to ship. So maybe there's got to be some thought put into that and guardrails built into the process of submitting, much as that by many.
So the good thing is that us talking about it here has already led to one reply.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Marcus.
He's forgotten. It sounds like maybe you're using a disposable email address or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so there we go. And now
set reminders, folks.
Yeah,
we finally,
after many, many deep breaths, we finally have some clarity on the whole bazooka gate. Here we go. Where's it gone? More people building bazookas to kill mosquitoes. So it's a mosquito killing thing. I think we're probably all.
Yeah, that was the comment you made earlier, the one you skipped where you.
Oh, did I miss one?
Over engineering is what she's implying. Not. Literal bazookas, sadly.
Okay.
I want to see Anamike do literal bazookas.
The problem with doing this show is, well, there's many things. There's lots of moving parts in the background here, and I'm trying to click buttons. I can never keep track of the whole comment thing. Not quite, anyway. So apologies, Anne, that I messed that up. The plugin check plugin, says Elliot, who, as I said, is not far from me. The plugin check plugin was a great addition to help the process, but I assume some people still skip using that before submitting the plugging. Good point.
Elliot, when I vibe coded through last time that I was on, I shared about the XFN plugin that I built and also the post formats one. Both of those were good vibe coding projects, but one's designed to bring back features that have long lurked around in core. So I vibe coded through that. So I'm just as guilty as the rest of them. And when I submitted it, it actually gives you a sandbox using Playground to go test it in that has plugin check plugin already active while you're still in that waiting review process. And while you're doing that, you can see here's all the errors. If you're vibe coding through this, take that list of errors back to where you were vibe coding. Say, help me with this stuff. Get it fixed up. You could still keep resubmitting, uploading that same zip file again and again until they start that review process so that they've got the most current thing. So if you see, please use Plugin Checker plugin ahead. And also, I got this tip off of Amber Hines from Equalize Digital. Test any plugin that you go to install on your website also with Plugin Checker plugin, because you want to make sure right that your things are compliant and going to get along together. And the Plugin Checker plugin will at least identify, it's not as robust as saying like, let me read all the code and understand it, but it will certainly flag things that you are unaware of, like this is using deprecated functions that are no longer maintained and you might rethink using that plugin because of it.
Yeah, so Mark Wilkinson in the UK, crikey, the comments are coming thicker than faster than I can keep up with them. So Mark says, is the plugin check plugin available? No, on the submission interface, to which Elliot helpfully said yes, there's a checkbox to confirm that. And then kind of following on, I know the plugin team can't provide more guidance than they already do, but is there a place a developer can get more feedback? Maybe that has just helped Troy, that plugin.
Troy, I can talk and I can wrangle in a plugin review team member. Okay. All I told them in that direction.
This podcast, but real life hope there, Troy.
Yeah.
From Courtney.
Troy is one of the organizers for WordCamp Canada. So
yeah,
I've
lovely.
Known Troy over some years.
Yeah, that's great. So he says, this is an area I've struggled with and I want to build for the masses, but end up building what I want in the end and hope others like it.
Yeah.
Also, PHP
blocks for accessibility.
Yeah.
Recently. And has been doing some of those updates.
Sorry, I was cross-talking you there, Courtney. Philip also says, PHP CS, there's another thing we've got to learn to spell, Mike. I can say it, I won't be able to spell it 3 minutes. To code, as sometimes there are false positives. And finally, last little comment, I wonder if it could be automated when the plugin is submitted. It is run through the plugin check plugin, maybe using Playground. If it fails, the submission doesn't go through. Okay, that was
I think they're sort of doing that, but after the submission phase. So they're running it through the plugin checker and using that output as part of the email that you'll get with improvements.
So I don't even know what to say at this point. We've got 2 minutes left of the show. Normally we get right the way through the list of things that we've got to get through, but we're not even halfway. But
let's
I have to end
tomorrow.
It on,
I think, Nathan,
I'll just do another show tomorrow. That's right. Yeah. But I have to end it.
A shout out very quickly to Zeal. And also, I would like to acknowledge and honor that yesterday marked 11 years since Kim Parcell passed. Yeah. And Kim Parcell was known in the WordPress community as WP Mom, was very near and dear to some folks. There is an episode on Tavern that goes into some of this back in the archives. Kim Parcell was probably the first loss that our community deeply felt. Zeal is among our most recent members that have passed.
Yeah. Okay. You're absolutely right to bring this one up before we finally end the call. What I'm going to say is all of the stuff that didn't make it into this particular show, there was four, for example, from Yoast, the person. I'm so sorry, Taco. We're just not going to get to them this week.
I didn't do the writing. That's all.
Okay. I'm pleased that you're so sanguine about it. So this is a piece. I don't need to reiterate. We did coverage of Zeal earlier towards the end of 2025, sadly passed away. But there is, I don't know, this is the wrong phrase to use, but every cloud and all that, there is some chink of light a little bit here, which is to say that there is the Zeal Memorial Scholarship, which is going to be awarded. It is being fronted and I think paid for, Taco, correct me if I'm wrong, by the, I don't know how to pronounce that, Kolhapur Word Camp. And the intention is to provide 10 complimentary tickets. And I'll just read what it says here. 10 complimentary tickets to girls and women who are unable to attend WordCamp, Kolhapur.
Yeah, WordCamp Kolhapur.
Yeah, in 2026 due to financial constraints. So if that fits the bill for you, if you would like to attend that and you satisfy those conditions, there is a scholarship which is now called the Zeal Memorial Scholarship. And by the looks of it, it looks like the applications for that are about a month away. You've got to submit that application by the 1st of Feb. So, yeah.
Either that or the event is the 1st of Feb. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you could be right about that. Let me read a little bit more. Application process. No, there we go. Here we go. Yeah. 15th. So actually, you've got 10 days. So if you're listening to this and that fits the bill, I know that we have quite a lot of people listening in that neck of the woods. So it might be that they would welcome that. 15th of January is the date at which you have to submit. And you will find out by the 22nd of January whether or not you have been successful. So apologies for the people that have, you know, in the panel that have submitted stuff that we never got to. Largely, that would be Mike and Taco, because we just sort of did it in the order and Courtney's stuff came first and we got...
I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's the way it goes.
No worries.
Yeah, it was fun. I've enjoyed this episode very much. And
please get redosed.
Yeah. Well, again, the links are in the show notes. So everything that we talked about, plus a whole bunch of stuff that was supposed to be talked about, has ended up in the show notes. Like I said at the top of the show, I'll just go here, wpbuilds.com. If you stick your email address into that little box, we will send you. Honestly, there's no weirdness. We're not trying to like pitch anything. It's just, we're just linking out with no affiliate links or anything like that, just to the content itself. So you click on the links and it'll take you directly to the content and we don't gain anything from that. So I'll put all of the links that we've talked about, plus the ones that we sadly didn't get to as well. And I'm not going to ask you for your episode titles because we're going to do that afterwards when Courtney's AI gets to work and hopefully comes up with something. And if it fails, I'll just have to make one up.
No, in that case, it will just be square brackets. That's curated title.
I think I'll take a riff and instead of Mr. Bean, the middle of the road option will be Wallace and Gromit.
Let's
do with a bunch of farm animal sounds.
Yes, I love it. I actually watched a Wallace and Gromit film over the Christmas period. It was very nice. Oh, I really enjoyed it.
Lovely.
Marcus, you're very kind, Marcus, but I can't. I've actually got errands that I have to run.
Snow to remove.
Oh, and pronunciation. Yeah, snow to remove. Kolhapur. Thank you, Yash.
Thank you, Yash.
Helpful. And Zeal was a true inspiration for many and inspired many. That's so nice to hear. Thank you very much. Okay, that's what we've got time for. First, little thanks, I guess, from me to everybody who made a comment. Thank you very much. Keeps the show going. Keeps it rocking forwards. And also, goes without saying, thanks to, let me see if I can get this in the right order. There's Mike Johnson over there. Hopefully he'll come back and the experience wasn't too painful. Back over Don Shot. There he is down there. And Courtney Robinson, who is down there. So, Mike, you're experiencing firsthand. It's certainly discombobulating. Yeah, that just point everywhere.
Like, it's a good start for the year.
Somewhere.
Never works as you expect. Mike, I know you don't watch this very much. You tend to listen to it, but we have this sort of slightly humiliating hand wave thing that we do every single episode. So if you don't, perfect. There we go. That'll do it. That's ideal. Thank you very much. We will be back next week. If the three of you want to hang around for a few minutes and have a little bit of chat, that'd be really nice. But take care. We will see you next week. Bye bye.